on basic Bible doctrine. Sometimes I think everyone forgets. What series? Basic Bible doctrine. And we realize there's some doctrines we ought to know, especially if we've been going to the Lord's church for many years. And there's doctrines we need to be reminded of, amen? From time to time, we need to go back and visit God's Word and make sure that we understand our message, what we're preaching, what the Bible teaches. And so tonight we're going to begin. I do not believe we will finish this outline on sanctification just because I don't want to rush through it and just get it finished. So let's read our text. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Same chapter, then verse 30. And see what God's Word says about sanctification. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, jump down to verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. If you see some important phrases here, one is that we are sanctified in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. And that's what it says down in verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. And when we're in Christ, he's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And redemption. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him for wisdom and understanding of the Scriptures tonight as we begin looking at sanctification in the Bible. Father, we do come to You tonight and we just want to thank You for Your Word. Father, we thank You for this important doctrine that we can review and remind ourselves of this wonderful truth that we have in Christ, and also be challenged, Lord, by the practicality of how we are to live out this truth in our daily walk. So, Father, we thank You that doctrine is very practical as well. It is to teach us what to believe, but it also affects how we behave and how we live. So, Father, help us tonight. Give us clarity of thought. Give us clarity of understanding through the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when you think of justification, justification is also part of our salvation. And justification means we are in a right relationship, a right standing with God. Because of all that Jesus has done for us, now God, if we're saved, if we're in Christ, now God declares us righteous in His eyes. Amen. Now, sanctification deals with our state, while justification deals with our standing. In justification, we're declared righteous. In sanctification, we can become righteous. So part of sanctification, yes, it is our position in Christ, but we call another part of sanctification we're going to look at is not only our position, but it's called progressive sanctification. It's a process. It's a process, and this is something that's very practical for us as Christians. So justification is what God does for us while sanctification is what God does in us. So justification puts us in a right relationship with God legally, while sanctification experimentally exhibits the fruit of that relationship in a life separate from the sinful world and dedicated to God. So part of sanctification is being set apart for God, becoming holy for God. And so we would say justification makes us safe, sanctification makes us holy. There is, however, an aspect of sanctification called positional, our position, which should not be overlooked. So even in as justification, it's our position in Christ legally. So God is looking at us morally rather than legally. That's why it says in verse 2, we're called to be saints. So that word saint is also the root word of holy. Amen? Holiness. So we are called to be holy. We're called to be saints. And this is our separation from sin, separation unto God. So in justification, man is positionally upright, while in sanctification, he is positionally holy. Holy. Now, we're going to go walk through some scriptures in the Old Testament. And we're going to look at, number one, the meaning of sanctification. The meaning. And this meaning, the basic definition of sanctification is, letter A, set apart for God. Set apart. So when you think of these words in the Bible, sanctify, sanctification, holy, and holiness, they're translated from the same root words in Hebrew and Greek. And that's where we get this definition of being set apart for God. We are to be consecrated to God's service. Set apart for God, and we're set apart for a holy purpose. That's what God does when we're sanctified. So, letter B, the uses found in Scripture. Now, when you go through the Bible, things can be set apart for God and sanctified unto Him. Go to Exodus. And this has to do with the tabernacle and the instruments there used in the tabernacle. And the Bible tells us about these instruments. Verses 10 and 11. And thou shalt anoint the altar of the burnt offering and all his vessels, and sanctify the altar. And it shall be an altar most holy. And thou shalt anoint the laver and his foot, and sanctify it. So you see, we have inanimate objects, such as the altar there, being sanctified unto God. They're set apart for God. But even in the Old Testament, there in Exodus 19, you have people being sanctified unto God. As in verse 22. And let the priest also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. So think about sanctifying yourselves. That puts a little bit of responsibility on us to be set apart for God, to be holy. Because God was saying if they didn't do this, God can judge them. God could kill them if they were not being sanctified for Him. Chapter 13, verse 2 of Exodus, still looking in Exodus. In The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whosoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. So we're saying that these, the firstborn, as we know, are set apart for God. They were to be set apart for Him. So the Bible says, sanctify unto me. God's commanding Moses to do that, and the parents as well. Now, moving to the New Testament, we look at the life of Jesus. Obviously, Jesus was sinless. Amen? He knew no sin. But when it comes to consecration, when it comes to setting himself apart, the Bible says in John 10:36, Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. So God set apart Jesus, God consecrated him and sent him into the world. And then we see John 17, that prayer of Christ, amen. John 17 and verse 19. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now, this is that very important verse in verse 17 as well for us. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So this is talking about our relationship to the world and how we're to be set apart for God. And we're sanctified. This process is through the Word of God. That's why it's so important to be daily in the Word of God and to have a right relationship with the Bible. If you don't have a right relationship with the Bible, you don't have a right relationship with the Lord. You can't separate the two. And so it's so practical and so important to be in God's Word, to be sanctified. God sets us apart. God works in us in a special way through the Word of God. And then, going back to our text, remember the members of Corinth, but go to chapter 6 now. And verse 11, speaking of them. Now, let me say a few things about the book of Corinth, because I was reinforced a little bit in a conversation with a preacher yesterday. You may have heard that there are carnal Christians. So carnal Christians, in a modern definition, are some class of Christians that don't live for God. You don't even know they're saved, and they're out there, but they're saved. They're just carnal. And they go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 to build that doctrine. I don't agree with that at all. I don't think the Bible teaches that. Because the Corinthians, though they had troubles in their church, though they had schisms and divisions, they were not in the world living a wicked life and claiming to be saved. That's not carnal Christianity. But there is a doctrine made of that. And simply, this is the verses that you can very clearly understand that. In verses 9 to 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now look at this next verse. And such were some of you. You used to be this way. But now, what does he say in verse 11? But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So this is what they were. They were this. They didn't continue living like this. In fact, remember in chapter 5, they had to put out the fornicator. It wasn't like, and then they did that. They did obey. Remember, then he has to write him to forgive them. See, there was difficulties, but let's not make it what it's not. It's not some excuse or some special class of Christians that are saved, but you can't tell. No, that's not biblical. It's never been biblical. Now, you may be away from the Lord, but there's chastisement, and he's going to bring you back. Now, remember, the fruit of chastisement is this. It always produces the fruit of righteousness in those who are exercised thereby. So, if you're chastised, you come back and you live righteous. That's the fruit of it. That's what the Bible says, Hebrews 12. So you will demonstrate getting right with God and living right after God chastises you. That's the fruit of it. Anyway, so these Corinthians, though troublesome, look at their position. They were washed, they were sanctified, they were justified. Now, Christians are to follow holiness. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. We are to follow holiness. Holiness, and we can't shy away from this just because the holiness movement has some false doctrine. They do have some false doctrine. A holiness movement believes you can, in this life, you're going to attain sinless perfection. That's a false doctrine. So we have to be careful as well. But what should we pursue? Amen. It says, Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We need to pursue holiness. We need to pursue sanctification. That's part of our Christian walk. That's part of God's plan in us in Christ. Now, 1 Peter, kind of walking through the scriptures here a little bit. 1 Peter 1, 1 and 2. And then verses 15 and 16, but we'll look at the first verses as Peter is addressing these Jews scattered abroad. What does he say? Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now jump down to verses 15 and 16. Verses 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Certainly that conversation does affect our speech, but it's manner of living. It's our behavior. It goes beyond just words. That's the manner of life is the biblical definition of conversation. So he's telling us to be holy. First, we're sanctified through the Spirit, through the sprinkling of the blood of Christ when we're saved, but then as a Christian, we're to pursue holiness. And the reason is, verse 16, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. That's God's speaking, amen? We're to be like Him. So when we look at the Scripture, the true meaning in God's Word, sanctification means separation. And it's a separation from and a separation to. Separation unto God. Setting apart for God. We're to set apart or to consecrate unto God our lives. Now there's a false meaning held by some. This goes back to the Wesleyan movement, the Methodist, the Arminians. And here's the belief, and many of them will also teach sinless perfection in this life, which we're going to kind of clear up, probably not tonight, but we will get to it. So this false meaning by Arminians or Wesleyan states that God forgives past sins when you get saved. But then, after salvation, you must hold out faithful. That's their terms. Or you must endure to the end to be saved. So God will save you, forgive your past sins, but now you have to hold on. You have to keep yourself saved. That's the Arminian Wesleyan view. And they actually believe you could lose your salvation. But they also teach a second blessing. And a lot of this second blessing or the second work of grace they teach is needed to really, you know, get set apart for God. The holiness movements and the Salvation Army, believe it or not, teach this view of what I'm laying out here. So you have different churches, different movements in the past and even today. They may even call the second work of grace sanctification. But we're seeing what sanctification is in the Bible. It's part of God's plan of salvation. And it's in Christ. Amen. It's once you have Christ, now that happens in your life. Amen. But they actually teach that the believer must repent immediately of every sin in order to maintain himself safe. So that means you sin, you got to repent. So every moment of every day, you have to account for every sin that you commit and repent of it or you're not saved. That's that false view. If he doesn't do this, he then forfeits his justification and peace with God. So many in these movements also believe you can achieve sinless perfection this side of heaven. All of these views are to be considered false doctrine, not taught in scriptures. So we need to understand, yes, even what we understand about sanctification is important today because it's perverted by many, distorted by many churches today. And you can identify it by just listening to the way they talk about their view of salvation or security of salvation. Or keeping your salvation, or enduring to the end to be saved. That's the famous quote of many that believe this. Let's just move on to one more point, because the last point kind of goes through a lot of passages, and I don't want to just skip through them. Number two, the nature of our sanctification, the nature of sanctification. And this is where I'm going to talk to you about letter A. Let's just lay it out right here. A, B, C, our position. Letter B, our progression. And then letter C, our perfection. Yes, there will be perfection. Amen. But it's not this side of heaven. I wish it was. Don't you? So we've already stated our position, letter A. Now, when we get saved, this is how God sees us in Christ. Amen? He sees us as sanctified. He calls us a saint. But does that mean you're saintly every day? No. But in our position, when God looks at us, we are perfect because Christ is perfect. Amen? This is imputed upon us. This is given to us through Christ. It's the finished work of Christ on the cross. And that's why 1 Corinthians, that verse that I read in verse 30, chapter 1, verse 30, is so important. Because this is our position in Christ. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, amen, who of God is made unto us, that's us, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. There's more verses like this. This isn't just a complete list. But it's sufficient to understand that is imputed upon us in Christ. We have this because we're in Christ. That is our position. This is how God sees us. Now, this should change your understanding of who you are. This is so important as well. When God looks at you, what does He see? He sees you as a saint. He sees you as righteous. He sees you as perfect in Christ. Not because you deserve it or you live that way. It's because of Jesus Christ and what He's done for you. This is amazing. 8. So Jesus sanctified the people with His blood. We are sanctified with the blood of Christ. Now go to Hebrews 10. It all fits together. Still talking about the sacrifice and blood of Christ. Hebrews 10:10, it says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Amen. That's a good one. Once for all. And then verse 14. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Can you imagine? God sees us perfected forever in Christ. That is our position. That should change the way you view yourself. If you really understand how God views you. That could be liberating. Really. If we really meditate on it. So we have our position. Remember, both justification, we have a position. This is what we have in Christ, and sanctification. Now, there's a progression in our lives, letter B. This is what we are becoming in Christ. We are becoming. So part of this blessing of salvation is God working in us right now. God has a plan for our lives. And we could say we are saints in His sight, but we may not always act saintly in our practice. But what does the Bible say in Romans 8:29? What is God's goal here when He saves you? What does God begin to do in you and me? It says here, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So the goal in salvation is to be conformed to Jesus Christ. That could be found in many other scriptures. But this is what God's working in us on a day-to-day basis, a week-to-week basis. It's a process. This is progressive sanctification. And it is a present work of God in us. And that's why I quoted there, we are to strive to be holy even as God is holy. This is be holy in all manner of conversation. This is still a desire we should have in us to be more like Christ, to be more separated unto God, to be more separated from sin. Amen? But I'm thankful that in the end, we are going to be like Christ. And Let's go to 1 John 3:2. This speaks of after the rapture. This speaks of after we see him or when we're taken out of this world. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Amen. For we shall see him as he is. So brethren, we are to be like Christ. This is God's work in us. And God is going to bring us to that state of perfection. As soon as we depart from this world, we're leaving our sin behind. We're leaving the flesh behind. And we're going to be perfect like Christ. That's why God can look. He's time. God sees it all at once. He sees us already perfect in Christ. He already sees that. Now, Philippians, go back to Philippians, and we'll end here because of the nature of the rest of it. Philippians 1, another promise. It's good to go to God's promises. And this is what God's going to do in us. Amen. This is his plan. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Meaning, brethren, this is real. This is God working in us, this sanctification, unto the day that Christ returns. We have this assurance that he has begun a good work in us. He's going to continue that work, and then we're going to be delivered perfect back to heaven. Amen. Look at chapter 3 and verse 20. It even says, our conversation right now, it says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So this is God's view of us. This is the nature of sanctification. We have a perfect in Christ. We're sanctified in Christ. We're saints in Christ. We're holy in Christ. We're righteous in Christ. But yes, now this should affect the way we live on earth. You know, it's not just like, oh, praise God, one day that'll be real in me. Let me just go about my life as it is. No, that's why a lot of the verses I didn't turn to, but in 1 Corinthians 1, it says, he that glorieth, glory in the Lord. You know, all this is to give God the glory. You start understanding this, the only thing you want to do is thank him and praise him. Amen. For what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do in us when he comes back for us. Amen. So let's be thankful, but let us pursue holiness. Let us sanctify ourselves and truly set apart our lives unto God and learn how to get victory. And I think this last part of our study is more practical on, okay, how does that work in our life? You know, how are we going to become saintly and become sanctified and become holy? I think God has an answer in his word. And we want to find that. So that's number 3. The method of sanctification will be our last point next week. Don't lose your outlook.